Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP Pastor, Director of the Catholic community. It is fourth Sunday of Easter, and the readings are from Cycle A.
I think many of you are aware that I'm moving into my last few weeks as pastor and director here at Stanford. I won't be going away. I'll be living in Menlo Park and taking up a new ministry of being an itinerant preacher and teacher. In fact, there were meetings this week that I was both happy to be at and happy not to be at. 3 days worth of meticulous schedule planning for all of next academic year. But in the mix is the possibility of me being invited to lead a retreat next winter or spring. And particularly for those of you in the permanent resident community along with students, but something that those of you who live here year-round might actually take part in. The problem is that you're also time-starved. It's really hard to get you to commit to being together. It's like that. You remember the story of Jesus trying, somebody giving a banquet and inviting everybody, and somebody just bought an ox. Another one just got a farm, and the other one just got married, and sorry, I can't make it. Well, I'm hoping that this time you'll actually stop all the other stuff. And I already know what I want to do. I'd love to spend a weekend on just the Gospel of John. I did it once years ago, and it's still my favorite retreat experience of all time. John is very theatrical and rich with all kind of themes, one of which is very prominent today, the last word in today's reading. Abundant. Abundance. It was one of the things that the early church, you don't get abundance the first time you hear it. It's one of those lessons that life just has to teach you, and you learn it by enduring scarcity and being brought low. When you crave abundance, when you don't know where you're going to get the energy to do the next thing you need to do, one foot in front of the other, and your own strength won't get you there, that's when Jesus can really rock and roll. That in John's gospel, starting out with almost nothing is kind of the very first step. When you think of John's gospel, it starts with the words, "in the beginning," right? And he did that on purpose, because what he wants you to understand is what Jesus is in the world is a brand new start for everyone. How many times in your life have you wished you could just kind of hit the reset button? Start over. For John, Jesus is this cosmic do-over, this opportunity to start again and get it right this time. And he starts by bringing us back to Genesis. And when we are in Genesis, remember the story in Genesis, the creation story, there's just a desert. The earth is dry. Except in this one place, there's a spring that wells up in the desert. Water coming up right out of the ground. And it begins to flow. And the hand of God dips into the clay that's formed and starts playing with it like we did when we were kids. And God forms that clay into this container. Then he puts the container up to the divine mouth. God breathes in into the container, and it becomes full of the breath of God, and it becomes alive. And it's called Adam, the first human. That theme of empty and full, dry and overflowing runs all through John. In fact, at this time yesterday, I was doing the second of two weddings. Early in the day, it was Winston over here and Larissa over here. And then at 5 o'clock, let's see, that one was Ramon over here, who was born in Peru, marrying Dan Chong, who's born in China. And we were doing everything in three languages, or trying to, and the Chinese family members, I don't think had ever been to a Christian service, but they were doing everything that I did. They were just crossing themselves and bowing and coming up for a blessing. They couldn't have been any more engaged because they loved their daughter. No? And there they were, these people, giving themselves completely to one another. And in John's gospel, he's the only one that has that story in chapter 2 of a wedding. But it's very crafty. It's very theatrically staged. So then you don't get to just look at the bride and groom. You have to look past six stone water jars that are blocking your view. They're right in the front of the stage, and they're very large and very prominent and probably well lit so that you can't ignore them. They're too important. They're there for a religious purpose, we're told, but they're empty and dry. But behind them is a bride and a groom. All they want to do is fill each other up. Nothing dry about that. They just want to fill each other to overflowing. But in the story, as you know, there's this problem of the running out of wine. Mary intervenes. It's Mother's Day. Jesus does what Mom wants with a little bit of kind of malliness. What's this to me? But when he gives the instructions, fill them, and they fill them to the brim, to overflowing, right? Then it's going to become wine, and wine is symbolic of joy. There's overflowing joy where just a moment ago there was dryness, a particularly religious dryness. That's kind of the worst kind, I think. You ever been left dry, cold, and some religious service or religious group? Awful. Anyhow, it keeps going through John's gospel. The woman at the well, she's a container holding a container next to a container. The well and the bucket, but she's in the middle. And Jesus offers to be a well that springs up inside of her to provide eternal life. Later there's going to be a container that's full of death, the tomb of Lazarus. But it's going to be emptied and filled again because Jesus is going to have to enter the tomb and die. There's going to be a container next to the cross that's going to have sour wine. He's going to drink some right at the end. And then he's going to say, "It is consummated." It's an odd way to say finished. It's over. It's reached its consummation. Jesus provides abundance right at the moment that you thought it was impossible. Which reminds me of a story. If you've read my book, it's in my book. It might be back there in a brain cell you haven't used in a while. Maybe not. It was probably the driest, darkest time of my life. I was pastor at the All Saints Newman Center at Arizona State University, right at the height of the sex abuse scandals a number of years ago. Our diocese ended up with a big public fight between the district attorney and the bishop, and the newspaper covered it avidly. That summer, it seemed like we had 2 weeks in a row with highs of 115. At night, it would only go down to about 95. I'd get up in the morning because in the desert, that's the best time of the day. I'd get up in the morning when it's at least not as hot as it's going to be later, and I'd read the paper with a cup of coffee and then just be depleted. And I couldn't not know what was in it, but I kind of had to keep up. But I would start the day exhausted. I remember when it would be Sunday and people would come for Mass, the Catholic people were just so exhausted, disgusted, sad. They would just come and kind of plop themselves into the pew and kind of dare me to give them any energy. Where was I supposed to get any? I remember right in the middle of all that, this poor guy that's on drugs finds an unlocked door into our historic old church and spends about 4 hours in it breaking the stained glass and reducing the altar to splinters. He later apologized. But right then, it was awful. I had to leave town to go to a conference of Catholic campus ministers. I was in Missouri. And I'd come from the airport, and I arrived at the conference hotel, and some of my colleagues saw me coming and said, "Oh, Nathan, we're so sorry." I was surprised that they would have heard about our church being broken into in Missouri. It didn't seem like that big of a story. But it became clear very quickly something worse had happened that I didn't know about yet. And I said, "Why are you sorry?" They said, "You mean you don't know? Go ahead, hit me. Your bishop, he killed somebody. Do you remember it? Our bishop in Phoenix was in a traffic accident that was a hit and run, and a man died. And the bishop was frightened and went home and stayed in his rectory, and the police had to come and find him a couple of days later, and they arrested him and took him off in handcuffs, and it was on CNN. The conference ended, and I came back, and now it was like early August, and it's time to start the school year, and I just didn't have a breath left. I don't know if you know campus ministry, but you have to hit it really hard at the beginning of the school year, and it's pretty much a sprint between the start of the school year and about 1st of November. You have to get the beginning of the school year right, or you're catching up all year long. I knew the energy that it would take, and I went to bed one night, and this is what it sounded like if you were God listening to my prayer. "Hey, I'm exhausted. I need to do your work. I don't have anything left. I need you to fill me up, and I need it now. Thank you and good night. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And somewhere along about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm in this vivid dream, and I'm standing in Anacoco Creek. It's a creek where, near our farm in Louisiana, where we would go after exhausting days of baling hay. In the summer when you're baling hay, it's humid and sticky, and it's hard work. But at the end of the day, we would drive to the creek and jump in. I remember it being refreshing in my childhood, but in this dream, I was standing in the creek. I was about, you know, up to my chest in the water, right in the current, but I'm not refreshed. And in fact, the water is causing me to bleed out. I'm watching my blood go downstream and my energy, and I just am kind of waving goodbye to it. I'm watching my life slide away. And then I hear this voice that says, "Nathan, turn around." So I turn around, and yikes, there's this entire river flowing right at me, and it's all sparkly and wet, and it's kind of like jumping, like waves. The word abundance is related to the word wave. There was waves of love and energy flowing toward me, and I was like this sponge. I couldn't absorb all of it. I couldn't see where it started. It was just too much to take in, but I was absorbing as much of it as I could. And then I woke up. I thought, wow, I forgot. I wasn't supposed to be doing this on my own energy anyway. I forgot to ask the source to supply the energy that it took to do the work that I was given to do. Duh. Well, I've never forgotten it since. That's probably not true. I do sometimes try to go back and do things under my own power. Don't you? When you could have simply asked for the grace, the help, the overabundant supply that would have been yours had you asked. It's not always as dramatic as that was. Thanks be to God. I don't want to have lows quite that low, if I can help it. Near the end of Jesus' life, there's not a Pentecost story in the Johannine tradition. You know that story of being locked in the upper room and being filled with the wind and the Spirit and so on. In John, Jesus expires on the cross. That is, he breathes out, and his body contains breath. But when he dies, it expires, it goes out of him. But when it does, it's now set free. And anybody that has nostrils can breathe it in. For John, that's the moment of Pentecost. It's Jesus' last breath. And the Spirit now is available for you to breathe in. All you have to do is take a deep breath, and it's free. And then there's that detail that somebody needed them to get the bodies out of the way, and so they came around to put people out of their misery, and Jesus is already dead, but they can't resist poking him in the side with a spear just to make sure. And when they do, you remember what flows out? Abundant water and abundant blood. An overabundance. And the author has to stop and parenthetically say, and I was there and I saw it. That Jesus is, even after, moments after his death, his body supplies abundant water and abundant blood that nourishes, baptizes, cleanses. So today I think the key word is abundant. The challenging part is we might have to go to the most desert part of our life in order to really be a part of this cycle of death and rebirth. That might be painful, looking at where in the world is it hardest to be you. Where in the world is it hardest to live your life? And would you let God there? Or would you rather keep just kind of stumbling around under your own power? You can always do that if you want. However, you don't need to. And the early church had to make that decision. Do I want to be all in or not? Even the image of the Jesus saying he's the sheep gate. You know how when a stream is forced to narrow? You know, when a stream is coming down, but maybe there's a log or there's a stone or something that makes it narrow, what does it do? It rushes more quickly. It makes a wave, and it moves through, kind of like a flock that's had a bunch of space, but now it's forced through a tiny gate, and it looks like a wave of furry, woolly bodies. It's us together asking the Lord to get us through the narrow passages in life, but to do it with abundant love. Abundant grace. And if we dare to do this in our own lives, you won't be able to contain it all. The love that God will give you will splash around. It'll get all over everybody that comes near you. You'll find that you're taken out of yourself in your own set of concerns and your own agendas and to-do lists. And you'll just have such energy that you'll want to know of what you can do to help the person near you or halfway around the world away from you. It's worth pondering in this Easter season, this business of abundance. Just trust that Jesus was known for it all the way back to creation. It's the weirdest thing. Right at the driest, most broken, depleted moments, up comes that spring that wells up into more than we could need. I came that you might have life and have it in abundance.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, Associate Director Eun Soo, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.